welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. That's what we're supposed to be preaching. The kingdom of God is at hand. We're not supposed to be preaching it's coming in 2,000 years. We're not supposed to be preaching that you go to church and you wave your hands and you sing your songs. We're supposed to be preaching the kingdom of God is at hand. And you, as an individual, should be seeking that kingdom of God at hand and the righteousness of God. Are you doing that? Are you doing that daily? Are you doing that together with others who are also seeking the kingdom of God? Because wherever two or more are gathered together in the name of Christ, there also he is. So if you're not doing that together with others, you're not doing what Christ said. You're not two or more. And three or more is better than two or more. At least that is the way it is in my math. So you should be gathering together in a network. We've got lots of topics in the news today. I put aside a number of different stories and topics to talk about, or at least I'm starting to do that on a regular basis, to give you some input and information about how seeking the kingdom of God would relate to what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. Now, we could start off with a huge, giant story about the Federal Reserve being audited once in nearly over 100 years of its existence. It evidently gave $16 trillion. That's a really big number. If you had, you know, you're talking football-sized stacks of money when you're starting talking about $1 trillion. And we're talking about $16 trillion has been secretly given out to U.S. banks and corporations and foreign banks everywhere from France to Scotland. That's not a very big, long stretch from France to Scotland, but the reality is it's a lot more countries than that. $16 trillion in free money, not even interest-bearing money. It doesn't even do that for the United States. Now, why would they do that? What is that? Payoffs? What kind of money are we dealing with? What kind of power structures are we dealing with? It's absolutely astounding that they can do this. And people sit around watching their TV, cracking open another beer. You need to start rolling up your sleeves and doing something about this. Now, what does that mean, doing something? Get politically active? Should you be going out and voting? Should you be establishing a political caucus to change that? Do you have any idea in your head that the politically elected government controls the money powers of the world? You can go get 100 Ron Pauls elected, and you're not going to change the money powers. You can learn everything you want to learn about the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers of the world, and you're not going to change who they are and what they are and what they do. This is a spiritual battle. Now, I don't have anything against educating yourself and learning about these things, but the reason we have enemies, we have had enemies of Christ since Satan said, "No, I ain't." That is the way it is. And he is full of devious deception and clever sophistry, and you can't do anything about that. You have to get on the Lord's side. That's the key. The key is not knowing your enemy and fighting your enemy. It's knowing your Lord and doing what he said. You need to be on the Lord's side, and you need the power of God between you and the powers of the world. That's what you need. Now, how do you get that? Well, you need to clean up your own house. That means your own soul, your own heart. And you are a selfish pig. Nah, that's a mean thing to say. But the reality is we're all selfish pigs. We are all sinners. That's another way that people like to put it. I'm a sinner, and I'm proud of it. No, you're a sinner, and you need to be ashamed. And you need to be repentant, and you need to turn around, and you need to go another way than the way you've been going. And what is the way that you've been going? Why is the world in the state that it is in? Is it because there's the Rothschild somewhere and the Rockefeller somewhere conspiring to overthrow the world? A fellow in one of our groups sent me a video, and I was supposed to look at it. I can't download these videos. People are sending me megabytes and megabytes and megabytes of, and gigabytes of information, and they want me to download that. I do not have the bandwidth. We're out here in the boonies. In order just to do this program, I've had to go out on the road, travel down through the desert, and park in front of the Summer Lake Lodge in order to get the DSL to even do this program and the program that follows on Liberty Radio. I got to get that call number correct. Let's see if I can do that. Point is, this is a spiritual battle. You're not going to do away with your enemy. The enemy is us, like Pogo says. I have seen the enemy, and he is us. It is our sloth. It is our selfishness. It is our avarice. It is our neglect of the ways of God that has brought us to this particular end. There's nothing you can do to overcome the powers of wickedness. But you can align yourself with God, and you will not have anything to fear. And we'll talk about fear in the next show. But let's realize that the solution, when people always saying the solution is Christ, he is all we need. But what does that mean? How does that translate into our day-to-day lives? When Jesus was asked, what must I do to obtain eternal life? And that phrase, eternal life, we could spend a couple of days working on exactly what that means. He said to the man, you know the commandments, keep them. Now, we use that word commandments, and that really is a bad translation of what the Ten Commandments are. And some have suggested it should say the Ten Guidelines. Now, the Ten Guidelines, I'm not sure that that's necessarily the proper way of looking at it either. But because words are finite, and when I say guidelines, you think one thing. When I say commandments, you think one thing. And it may not be what I'm thinking, and that's the problem with language. Every word has multiple definitions. So if I use a word like religion, ideas pop up in your head. If I use a word like church, ideas pop up in your head. They may really have little to do with what I'm thinking. I mean, most of what I see out there as churches aren't churches. They're social clubs to distract you from the evil you do every day. The evil you do overtly, the evil you do by neglect. Because neglect is one of the greatest evils. Because evil is the absence of good. You're supposed to be tending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And you will do more to overthrow the powers of evil if you seek the righteousness of God, then if you explore all the evil iniquities of the world. There's evil out there. I got it. I wrote it down. I remember. But it is the good that we should be seeking. Are we doing righteousness? This has to be our focus. Do you know that there is no power in evil? Evil is the result of the absence of power. Think of God as all the spectrums of the rainbow, all the lights of the rainbow. If you put them all together, you get white light, because each one is a part of that frequency of light that produces white light. It's divided up into this crystalline projection. And you see one of the colors, one of the colors, one of the colors, one of the colors. You put them all together, you have white light. Evil is the absence of some of those colors. Now, I'm using the colors as an analogy, but it's absence of some of the character of God. The devil doesn't want to see some aspect of the character of God. You don't see lots of aspects of the character of God. You won't even look at them. Somebody's hold up this image of God in your churches, and you worship that image. Now, it might not be a statue, but it's a verbal image. God is this. God is that. And you worship that. You focus on that. But that isn't all God is, because they've left out some of the character of God. And how do we know that? We know that by the fruits of what they are doing. They have brought the entire world back into the bondage of Egypt. They have made kings of men, lawmakers of men. They have put other men on the seat of Moses and the seat of Jesus Christ. They have put other men in the judgment seat. Is that bad? That's the evidence of bad. What is bad? The absence of good. The evidence of the absence of good in you is the world you have created. You need to have good in you. And good won't fit in you until you repent. Change your ways. Accept the truth. You're a sinner. You're a pig. You have eaten of the table of iniquity. You have prayed to the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. Now, you may have done that out of ignorance. You may have done that out of wantonness. And how do we know? What are you doing now? Are you somebody wrote on the network the other day, maybe he'll listen to this. He talks about that, I ought to pull up the email, I wonder if I could even find it, and then I could read it. I got a gajillion emails in here. You wouldn't have believed the number of people that contacted us. And we've had people joining the network and from many unusual sources. We had somebody join in Australia because of their contact with a PCM here in Oregon. It's one of our least active PCMs on the network. When we needed their help, they were right there. And most of the people that have picked them, they're actually not just a PCM, but they're a minister of a congregation of record. And they do attend to the people, and most of the people they attend to aren't even on the net. And when we needed help there in the Portland area, boom, they were right there for us. But they're not on the net a lot. So you don't see their activity. But because of whatever they're doing on a day-to-day basis, which I don't have to watch everything they're doing, I see the evidence that they're doing because somebody in Australia joined the network over there because of the fellow in Oregon. That's networking. And it didn't go through the internet. It went through whatever lines of communication they have. It didn't go through our network. But I see the evidence of that. And he sent me a big, long video I'm supposed to download. You know, even if I had the bandwidth, I don't know if I had the time to watch it. I would devote full time to the kingdom and to this effort, but I need your support in order to do that. I don't want to be a burden to you, so I go out and try to eke out a living. We have one of our ministers on the network. I won't mention any names, but he suddenly became unemployed. He suddenly has to come up with what is a lot of money to him. It's really not that much money by most people's standards, and he needs that, and we're going to send him off that money. And we're short of money too, but that's the way it is. It isn't sacrificing for one another unless it's a sacrifice. Which gives more? The rich man who gives half of everything he has, or the widow who gives a penny? You see, the precept of that concept is that it must be a sacrifice to be according to the nature of God. And there is one color you will not find in the devil. He will not sacrifice for the welfare of others. If that character is in you, living in you, resting in you, growing in you, devil doesn't want to go near you. You will actually walk into the room of a really selfish power monger, and he will be at the disadvantage. If you don't have that character as a part of your very soul, not something put on like the Pharisees, but really, Pharisees gave. They gave every day. They helped the poor. They helped the widows. They helped the blind. They did that every day. They had a whole system of social security. But they gave of your fruits, not of their own. They themselves looked like wealthy men. The opulence of the Pharisees' homes and dwellings was superseded that of even Herod the Great. You have to understand that if you're not putting on the character of Christ on your very soul, not outward where everybody can see it, but in your very soul, which is Christ had an abundant life, a powerful life, and he gave up the power so that you could make choices. He gave up his life so that you may have life more abundant. If you do you think the devil would give up his life so that you could have life more abundant? That's a characteristic he doesn't have, and he doesn't want to be near anybody who's got it. But if you start to develop it, he's going to try to trip you up. He's going to say, oh, don't bother with that. Be angry at the Jews. Be angry at the Khazars. Be angry at the Rothschilds. Be angry at the Democrats. Don't think about sacrificing yourself for one another. Don't think about humility. Think about the pride that you're right and they're wrong. Do you see the spiritual reality there? You're going the way of evil. Anger draws you into the dark side. Doesn't you listen to Master Yoda? These things that we see out there in the media land are a reflection of reality. If that's all you can see is a reflection, even the reflection tells you. We have to repent and turn around and go the other way. So what does that mean? Stop being selfish. Stop going that way. Go another way. The email the fellow sent, I stopped looking for it. Started looking out the window as I was talking here, sitting in the back of the van doing this radio program. And I'm probably not going to find it. I probably deleted it. I was trying to go through so many emails last night. It was just ridiculous. But the point is he thinks that that fellow is going to repent of the fact that he is in the kingdom when he is old and nobody helps him, and he's not going to do that. That isn't my point at all. My point is, why is he not helping those that are in need right now? Oh, I help people on the side of the road. You know, I help people in the local place that I am. The kingdom of, you know, Jesus Christ was an anarchist. He believed in government without the state. That means man in his natural state. That's what the kingdom of God is. It's the right to be ruled by God in your heart and your mind, and nobody outside you rules you. But that takes a virtuous man to make that happen. This particular infectious disease got a name. I can say it. His idea of getting in the kingdom is getting rid of his ID, burning all his state ID, driving down the road without a license, and it also includes abandoning his two children, abandoning his wife to welfare, and actually bragging about the fact that the state could never force him to pay for his children. The state raised his children. According to the Bible, he's worse than a heathen. I pointed that quote out. If you don't provide for your family, you're worse than a heathen. But he just goes on, but I'm in the kingdom because I don't have their ID. I don't have their mark. But do you have the mark of God? Are you diligently loving one another? Have you created a social welfare system to help the widows and orphans? His family was widowed and orphaned. When he died to them and was born to his vision of the kingdom, he betrayed the very family that God had given him. And if you did that, then you betrayed God. If he couldn't go back and support them, he should have been supporting somebody else. But instead, he has devoted all his energy towards not getting their ID and was healthy and strong enough that the many times he went to jail, he could take it. But that strength will wane, yeah. And in his old age, things won't go so well. But has he been, you know, this is what people don't understand about Social Security. Social Security is a system of Corbett. You should be contributing on a regular basis to help the truly needy of God's society. And if you're not contributing to Social Security and that system, you should be contributing to God's system. But most of these people are just running around contributing to their own delinquency and justifying it because they got rid of their ID. Not enough. Now, I'm not picking on you. I'm trying to awaken you to the fact that you need to be tending to the weightier matters. One of them is law. One of them is judgment. Another one is mercy. You should have a system in place. Christ was an anarchist, but he was not a nihilist. Look those words up. There was a structure to the kingdom. There's a structure to you. You're not just a blob rolling down the hill like the blob. There's a structure. And you should be living within that structure, but with the Spirit of God, which is a spirit of sacrifice for one another, not simply running off and naked in the desert yelling, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. Another sign. Is all charity of God? 11 billion to $22 billion is spent on welfare to illegal aliens each year by state government. That's not what your money is there for. It's not for illegal aliens. Not that I have anything against illegal aliens, but they're not in the club. They're not participants. And yet they're helping them. That is their sacrifice to the red heifer. Problem, again, is the sacrifice is not free will. It's the Corban of the Pharisees. It's forced sacrifices given out to foreigners, which is what the sacrifice of the red heifer is. It has nothing to do with the color red and has nothing to do with heifer. It has to do with foreign aid. And we'll talk about that another time. $22 billion a year is spent on food assistance programs such as food stamps, WIC, and free school lunches for illegal aliens. That's a huge amount of money. $2.5 billion a year is spent on Medicaid for illegal aliens. $12 billion a year is spent on primary and secondary school education for children of illegals. Those are people outside the club, but that's all the sacrifice of the red heifer. In the kingdom, there should be such a surplus that I can not only help those who are truly needy and hard workers that fall on, you know, the fact is if I help this fellow out, he'll pay me back. He'll pay the church back. The church helps him out, and he'll pay them back. He already has given huge amounts of his time and energy and effort and just donated it to the church. Well, why shouldn't we help him out? I know it will come back. There's no contract that it has to come back. Nobody's going to kick in the door to collect it. I know. If I give to him, he'll give back. But it isn't a sacrifice unless we have a shortage and are willing to give anyway. That's essential to the character of God. And so we all have to take a look at this. It's a different concept. We'll maybe talk more about this later. Let's go see if there's any phone calls. We can take calls on the show. What do we got? We only have a few minutes left. They don't have question marks by then. We've got a couple people listening. Oops, maybe we do have a question mark. Something shifted around here. Let's answer this. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
And, did you have a question?
I do.
Okay.
How would you work with someone who's paid into Social Security all their lives, they're in their 80s, and they don't have any other way of handling things?
Well, that's absolutely right. We don't tell people to get rid of their Social Security number. We talk of, and Christ didn't say that either. He didn't say jump out of the system you were in. What he did is say turn around and start creating another system. If someone's collecting Social Security, they've got some spare time on their hands probably. And they should be using that spare time and any spare energy they have, and maybe even funds if they have it, to promoting the kingdom, telling other people, helping other people. Now, how they do that, that's between them and God and the resources that he lays at their feet. But they're in that system. And this is exactly what was going on in the time of the bondage in Egypt, that people were in that system. The poor were taken care of by the welfare system of Egypt, and everybody had to pay into that. And there was graft and corruption, and the system got overbearing and burdensome, and people were aborting their children, and everything you see today. But he didn't say, let's everybody run for it across the desert. He said, you had to keep paying your tally of bricks, but start looking for ways of providing for one another through faith, hope, and charity. We're so far from that. We can't have all the people that are on Social Security, all the people that are on Medicare, suddenly just get out of the system when we have half the people who think they're out of nothing. So the key thing is relationships. We have to get people in the congregations of record where they're actually communicating. We have to find other people that will see this system of social welfare has weakened us as a society, divided us as a society, has put the old people off in old folks' homes and hidden them away so that they're out of our way, and then we just go about doing whatever we want on as some kind of following some sort of Pied Piper, skipping along. To have a free society is going to require a sacrifice on the part of everybody. And the elderly should begin to realize that because they have a memory of the way it used to be to some degrees. I mean, somebody. Go ahead.
Well,
there may be
you.
A little bit of. So go ahead if you have a question. Just try to jump in there and ask it.
Oh, have you figured out a way to have a conference call? Hearing you while you were on the next program? Because those of us that have phones and no internet would really be blessed by that.
I don't know. The fellow who's in charge of that technicality, he's on. I'm sure he's listening right now. I know he's online. and we're working on that. As soon as we have that figured out, we'll be announcing it.
Okay.
Those programs
because
are recorded and will be made available.
Mm-hmm. But people wouldn't be able to ask questions just from the phone.
Chat room where you
I
can
mean,
ask
unless
questions.
You could find a conference call with a queue thing, you know, that would not help in that way.
Right. There's a talk show. If you're on the network, you should have got a notice, even if you're on the PA group, Pennsylvania group, I believe the notice went out to them too. And Phyllis, I saw her sending out, there's a talk show after the next radio show. And that is where everybody can be talking on the phone and asking questions.
Okay,
so
I'll have to look for that. I don't have internet access today myself. We're out in the backwoods, so.
Evidently.
Yeah, bless her. Thank you.
This show is over, so I'm going to have to run.
All right, take care.